Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 8:04 on the clock. You have Seth and James here with you.
Good morning, everyone.
Thanks so much for joining us. And let's see who we have on the phone with us here. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. You got Paul Trombley from Weatherology.
Paul, thank you so much for joining us. We've been looking so forward to this, having our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center join us. How are you doing this morning?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Doing good.
What does Mother Nature have in store for us today, Paul?
Yes, they're very summer-like atmosphere out there for us here with the hazy sunshine and those highs to about the mid-80s, so very much a summer feel out there. South winds 10 to 15. 61 and partly cloudy tonight, still warmer Friday, mix of clouds and sun, 82. And then by Friday night, a cold front comes in and bringing some chances for showers and thunder showers our way later Friday night, 59. Still looking cooler and wet into the weekend, some showers Saturday, clouds and 70. Mid-50s, shower chances Saturday night. Still could see some showers Sunday, mid-60s. And then as we get into next week, things gradually drying out. Highs back to about 70 on Monday with a mix of clouds and sun. 73, partly sunny Tuesday, some mid-70s Wednesday. So it's really a little more of an up and down with those temperatures.
Up here. Yeah. Yeah, it's starting to look a little more like the Midwest out there.
Exactly. That's Paul, the truth.
Yeah. Paul, I don't want to keep you too long, but is this the time slot you'll be calling us from now on?
Yeah, that works for you guys.
Yeah, works great. We love it. It's just great to have you guys back on the air with us. You're the best in the business, our Weather Eye Weather Center people. Appreciate the time, Paul. You have a great day.
Thanks. Yeah, we're glad to be on with you guys, too. Definitely.
Right on. Good to hear.
Good to be on the air with you guys. Yeah.
Say hi to everybody, and you have a good day, Paul.
Will do. You too.
Thank you. Oh, man, that's great. Oh,
yes.
That feels
all
so
right.
Good.
We got him back.
Yes. Hey, where's my winning bell? Yes. Yeah. Nobody's ever been more excited about weather than me.
No.
But I miss that.
Especially
interaction.
Yeah.
There's just nothing like that. And I genuinely think, and I've said this before on the air to our old owners, all that stuff. In the Midwest, I think that's almost vital, having a live call-in. Our weather is insane. What Paul just gave us is the most factual, most data-driven that you're going to find.
Yep.
And we all know that it could change like in 5 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the weather, but I swear, Mother Nature just listens to forecasts in Midwest and thinks, oh, so that's what you thought.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Boom.
Yeah.
I'm still in charge, y'all. I'm still in charge. I run game on this.
You know, I just realized that we haven't made fun of Mother Nature recently.
No.
So I don't know. I don't know if we should do the start of that up again or not.
We
probably shouldn't.
You don't mess around with Jim, and you don't mess with Mother Nature.
I know.
Those are the two things that I learned growing up from Jim Croce and my dad. That's
we were right on the line so much, though. So much. We like living in danger.
We really do.
Living
we really
dangerously.
Do. Big shout out to the Weather Eye Weather Center people. Mm-hmm. That was great. I did want to touch on some breaking news in case those of you out there had not heard. Queen Elizabeth II is under medical supervision as her health concerns are growing. The queen is not our queen, maybe, but still a noteworthy figure in human history. So I think it's noteworthy. Yeah. She is 96, too.
I mean, we have to keep that in mind. But, yeah. I mean, how long has she been in this job? I mean,
right.
She's got a record. No one has been in the job as long as she has.
I thought so. I was not sure about that.
Yep,
and I meant to look it up the last time we were talking about her.
And I think about my work history, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, right? Yeah.
she's got something figured out, you know.
Well, and I think, say what you will, I think there is so much to admire about her. There is plenty to take shots at. We do that all the time in society nowadays.
Right, yeah.
We spend more time talking about negatives than positives.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think that we can get that out of our system and become a society that can basically chew gum and walk at the same time.
Right.
Two things can be true at the same time.
Right, exactly.
A person can have lived a very important and impactful life that affected the world and also may have done some things wrong.
Yeah, right.
I could have just described literally everybody in human history.
Right.
Everybody. Mother Teresa to the person whoever you think is negative on the other end of the spectrum.
Right.
It really is humanity.
Something to keep in mind, too. If you're born in a position like she was born into, there's all the chance to screw up royally. And yes, I did that on purpose.
Nice.
But if you think about, and Seriously, if you look at the history of the British crown, they have done it over and over and over again. She has filled the post with, if nothing else, with dignity. And she's kept things, you know, she's kept her family pretty surprisingly, you know, private. Her private life is very private. For someone who's such a public figure,
yeah,
that's pretty remarkable. And if nothing for that, I got to give her credit because that's so hard to do in a position like she's in.
I wish her good health.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moving on to our next story. And since it is early in the morning and many of you may be just waking up or just, you know, some of you have gotten your day going, you're a couple hours in, you've probably heard someone say, just imagine all the stuff I could get done if I didn't have to sleep. Or I'll sleep when I'm dead, the old Warren Zevon line. You know, there's many things that we talk about with sleep. Yeah. I have been on this airwaves for, you know, 10 plus years talking about sleep and, and
your constant battles with it, right? Yeah.
I think one of the things that people don't realize with insomnia or being nocturnal, like I am, and many people,
night owls,
I like sleep. I'm just not good at it. The Sandman and I have never gotten along. I don't know if I owe him money, and he's just never called me out on it. If I said something,
we have to sleep in order to pay him off. That's the problem.
You know? That's the catch. But I do like sleep, but I think a lot of people think that people that are nocturnal or night owls that they don't. It's just a matter of maybe not being good at it, or maybe you sleep better during the day. Whatever the case may be.
Yeah, exactly.
So this new poll asked more than 6,000 Americans, if you could eliminate your own need for sleep, would you do it? So you basically could say, hey, you take this magic pill or you ask this genie a wish or whatever, and boom, you don't need sleep. This is kind of interesting to me because I actually wrote I have a series about a character who never sleeps.
Interesting. Yeah.
And he can bring dreams into reality and all this stuff. It's very interesting.
Is that how you do that? Okay.
Yeah.
It's a science, but no, I'm just kidding.
I find that the subject fascinating, and because with my writing, I do my homework on this stuff. I have researched dreams and sleep endlessly to the point where whenever there's new data, I'm being able to take it in. The record, I should look this up to be accurate, but off the top of my head, I remember right, the record for the longest time a human being has gone without sleep, like 6 or 7 years. Like, it was a...
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Like, this is a very... Like, does not happen very often.
No.
It can be a health or a disease, if you will.
Yep.
Not something that's intentional, obviously.
No. And I just wanted to say, just to answer the question of if I could get rid of sleep, would I? 100% yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because unlike you, I'm also a nocturnal person. But unlike you, I am not a fan of sleep. I don't like having to do it.
I see.
It really irritates me. But I know I have to, you know, because we're humans and we got to recharge. But if I could get rid of it, oh, yes, 100%, I'm done right now.
There's few things I hate more than wasting time. And I know that sleep is important. I know all it all the science behind it and what it does for our bodies and our mind and all that. And all those things being said, I still get angry if I oversleep or that kind of thing. Because the first thing I think of is, oh, that hour I could have done this with or something. But this is something where I'm working, and I'm not going to speak for you, Seth, or anybody else out there. But we have learned in recent years, if not for a long time now, that we can rewire our brains. And I am really working to do that to where I get I want to wrap up my life having a somewhat normal sleep pattern. I'm never going to get to the 8 hours or whatever, you know.
Probably not.
Going to bed at this time and waking up at this time. I'm 45. If that was ever going to happen, it would have happened a long
already,
time ago.
Right?
But I think I do believe, and the science backs me on this, and neurologists back me on this, that I can rewire my brain like many of you can out there to do certain things. I did it with nicotine. I was addicted to nicotine for a long time. I rewired my brain to not be addicted to it anymore. We do this stuff all the time with addiction, but we don't look at it that way. We look at it as quitting something or stopping something. Technically, what you're doing is rewiring your brain.
You're absolutely right. Yep.
So it is possible to be able to do some of these things.
Yep.
It just takes a lot of patience, a lot of time.
It's a lot of work. It is, for sure. Yep. Yeah.
So answering this survey, if you could eliminate your own need for sleep, would you do it? 49% of people said no, they wouldn't bother. 30% said yes, they'd still sleep. And 21% aren't sure, of course. My God, what is... Just answer the dang question.
That's a big number, too. 21%?
I don't know. Then why are you taking the survey? What are you doing here? This survey taker's not getting paid a lot of money here. Just move on. Dilly dally. It's the person that goes into the election booth and doesn't know what to do yet. Like, come on. Make a decision. You should have a decision made before you go into this.
Usually, like, you should. You know, you'd think, but
this is not difficult. Just answer the darn question. For what it's worth, men are far more likely to continue sleeping than women, 37% to 23%. But the biggest disparity is in a person's age. The youngest people surveyed between 18 and 29 were much more likely to continue sleeping, 39%. As people age, they're more willing to give up sleep, to the point where just 70% of those 65 and older would continue sleeping if their body didn't need it.
Ooh, well, that's fascinating. Wow. That's really interesting.
Not where I would have thought it went.
No, that seems, you know, you and I, again, maybe it's just a my own thing, but you'd think if you're like in your 20s and you're doing, you know, you're doing lots of stuff for 30s or whatever, you're a little bit on the younger side. You want to be able to have more time to do all the stuff you want to do. Well, apparently not. Of course, when you're retired and you're older, maybe then you have more time, you know.
And I don't,
in general, I don't know.
Look, I'm not trying to be morbid here or anything, but we also know that father time is undefeated.
Yes, we do.
And the older you get, the closer you get to meeting that.
And that's true. And maybe that has something to do with it. Yeah.
I'll sleep when I'm dead. You
really think about it that way.
Yeah. Right? I don't know if that has a factor in it or not, but it seems just as likely as about any other thing.
Sure, why not? Let's throw it out there.
This article, you can find the complete article at YouGov.org. It's YouGov.org. I find that last part the most fascinating of this, though. Because I really would like to know ask people, because this is a blind survey, but I would like to ask people that were in that age range, the younger range, is it because, do you sleep more because you just like sleep, or because the younger generation is more up on mental health and health in general?
Knowing that rest is important for that? Yeah. I don't know. That's a great question.
The knowledge we had in grade school compared to the knowledge kids have in grade school is literally...
light years.
A Grand Canyon size difference. It's 20 years, 30 years, whatever it is, but it might as well be 1,000. It's incredible the jump that we have made with knowledge in such a short amount of time.
You were so right, man.
And you think about, let's look at a kid that's 18. Like, when they were in grade school, the jump between what they were taught and what kids are learning right now in grade school, that's a huge jump, let alone you go to our age and everything. So that change is only going to keep happening. It's not like we're going to stop learning. We're going to have less knowledge going forward or something.
You got it.
Whether it's the universe or it's stuff happening on our rock right here, we're constantly learning new things about our planet, about the universe, about ourselves,
about our bodies, about so many. That's never going to stop.
We have an advantage here with this too, where we get to be kind of the early people. Like when the history books are looking back 40, 50 years at this stuff, how we handled these things, how we adapted and all that. And it's going to be fascinating to be a part of that. Yeah. It's going to be just as fascinating to see how that stuff develops.
Oh, absolutely. Because if you look at when we look back at, those certain times 100 years ago or whatever, it's fascinating to me. You know, it's like if you listen to people at the time, what they're saying about it at the time that it's happening, right? Real time.
Yeah.
That's, to me, is always really interesting. That's like those reactions are so important because you get to hear what's happening in real time. And then now we're going to be at that time at some point, of course, because history doesn't stop. You know, we're going to continue on that way. And then, looking back and say, wow, you know. So
it's interesting.
Yes.
We'll take a commercial break. We'll come back and do some celebrating. We're going to celebrate all of you when we get back on Mornings on WFHR. This one. Yeah. Sing along, everybody.
Like a robot.
Yes. It is time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're going to do some celebrating right now. We encourage you to head on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Not only do they sponsor the Birthday and Anniversary Club, they give us an opportunity at the beginning of every month, send some of y'all over there to get some free Misty's Menu food. Yum. Wishing our good friends at Misty's a great morning over there. Wonderful people.
Yes, indeed.
Seth, I need you to work a little this morning.
All right, let's do it.
need you to give me a 1 through 3.
Ooh, let's do 3 this time. All right, like 3.
Yeah, that gives us our qualifier. And all birthdays today, so we want to first wish a very happy birthday to Chuck Gibbons.
Happy birthday, Chuck.
Enjoy your day, Chuck. Hope it's a good one for
yes,
you.
Yes, indeed.
That's a great name, Chuck Gibbons.
Chuck Gibbons.
That's a good name right there.
Sounds like a big game hunter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Janet Gaybear, we're also celebrating. Happy birthday, Janet.
Happy birthday, Janet.
Enjoy your day. Hope it's a really good one for you.
Darn it, Janet. Oh, wait.
I wonder how many times she's heard that
I'm
one.
Sure, yeah, she's heard that a lot.
I hope you have a great day, Janet. And also celebrating a birthday, our qualifier, Kathy Sweet.
Kathy. Oh, Kathy Sweet.
That's all great names today.
Oh, my gosh. Kathy, you have a great birthday, and I hope your cake is very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have a day as sweet as your last name,
or
Kathy.
Better, go get some pie, some sweet, sweet pie from yes. Misty's Menu. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Get on over there, all of you guys.
Yes.
Everybody celebrating a birthday today, tomorrow, any day coming up. Let Misty's know it's your birthday, and you get a free slice of one of Brian's pies.
Yep. Excellent.
Again, thank you to all who sent us these birthdays and anniversaries. Send them again to us. Get them to us. info@WFHR.com or james@WFHR. Like our Facebook page and direct message us as well. Get us your birthdays and anniversaries mm-hmm. through smoke signals, Morse code.
Take them anyway.
Flag waving. I
yes.
don't know.
Semaphore flags. Yes. 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 My favorite form of communication.
I just love that you know the words. I never can remember that. We take a look at some celebrity birthdays right now. And first up on the list, Gaten Matarazzo. He is 20 today. That's Dustin on Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
I believe the curly-haired kid.
Wait a minute. Say his name again.
Gaten Matarazzo.
Oh, my gosh. What an awesome name.
Yeah, that's a good name.
That's a great.
He's good. He does yes. a nice job. That kid's good.
All of the kids from Stranger Things, they're all very good. All very good actors. Yeah.
They really are.
They did a good job of casting that show.
They did. And here's the thing, too. It used to be when I was young, when we were young,
yeah.
The child actors that were good really stood out.
Drew
Barrymore's, your Elijah Woods, yep. Things like that. Now, it stands out when I see a bad one because they're all good.
They're all really good.
There's some way better than others. Your
yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe's and things like that. But
yeah.
my goodness, these kids are good.
Yeah.
Like, I got to get a break here.
Yes.
I got to get my career going because I've got a lot of competition coming up. There's a lot of good kid actors out there, man.
Oh, man.
Wiz Khalifa is 35. Black and Yellow, See You Again. Got a couple of big hits.
Yes, Wiz Khalifa. What a name.
It is a name.
Did he choose that name? I'm guessing he did.
I gotta wonder. Jonathan Taylor Thomas is 41 today.
41?
That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
That is
insane.
He's
only a few years younger than us. Wow.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Me neither. That makes me feel very strange. I don't know.
I know he's most famous for Home Improvement.
Yep.
I can't remember if he did anything. I'm sure he's done
he
some
He left acting for a while.
Oh.
After the show, because he was tired of the game. He's come back and done a few things since then. But yeah, he went to school. He went to college. He did a lot of other stuff. So it's really interesting.
The wonderful artist Pink is 43.
Boy, there's a one-of-a-kind artist.
Yeah, yeah. Singer, songwriter, just so good at everything that she does. My sister's a huge fan. I don't pretend to know her inside and out
nope.
as far as her music, but what I do know, very impressive.
Yes.
One of those a few artists that I would say, even though I don't know her music, I'd go see her in concert. I'd see her show. She, from what I hear, has an incredible live show.
Yes, she does. That is also what I have heard, and I've seen some footage and everything. The thing that I like about her is when she came out, she was kind of lumped in with, you know, like your Britney Spears or
yeah.
your Christina Aguilera, and that like she came out in the late 90s, so different from them. The, the songs, the way she wrote her songs, that what she her subject matter was very different, very personal, unlike, you know, more of a, you know, slick kind of manufactured sound. So that's what I appreciate about her.
Now, there's a lot of artists you can point to going back to Cher and that as mm-hmm. far as women kind of pushing boundaries a little bit of what
yep.
it is to be a female pop star.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as modern artists go, Pink kind of set the stage for your Lady Gagas and that.
You are so right.
And just really, really talented.
Yep.
Really talented
artist.
So I thought this was another good one to mention. Kennedy. Okay. From MTV, the MTV VJ.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she's 50. If Jonathan Taylor Thomas turning 41 didn't make you feel old, the redheaded VJ of the 90s, Kennedy. That makes you feel very old.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Something that the VJs, something that you have to explain to people now what those were.
Right.
DJs, people know what DJs are, but VJs,
I was never a big fan of hers. She never really won me. Like,
she
I
didn't
know.
Do it for you?
I don't think I'm alone on that one.
You were a Martha fan, weren't you?
Yep.
Martha Quinn.
Yep, Martha Quinn. I liked Martha Quinn. I really
you
did.
You weren't the only one.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah. an actor I really like, big fan of, Chicago's own Lorenz Tate is 47 today.
Gotta bring that up every time.
I have to. Councilman Tate on Power, he was also Quincy Jones in the movie Ray, Frankie Lemon in Why Do Fools Fall in Love. In Menace to Society, he was in that. He was in House of Lies, Girls Trip. Lorenz Tate, great actor.
He is a consummate actor.
Yeah.
Yes.
A real pro.
Yeah.
Now, one of the best actors I've ever seen is celebrating your 51st birthday today, and that is the great Martin Freeman. How has Martin Freeman not been knighted yet?
It'll be coming.
It'll
be coming. You know, he's picked some really fascinating roles,
yeah,
too, but you are so right. He's an amazing actor.
If you don't believe Seth and I, he's only Bilbo Baggins in the Hobbit movies. While Emma is my Watson, he is my favorite Watson on TV and movies.
Yep.
As Dr. Watson in BBC's Sherlock, and as Tim the Tim the equivalent of Jim on the British version of The Office.
Yes.
Martin Freeman's we're barely grazing the surface of this here. He was in Fargo. He's such a vastly great actor of doing so many different things.
So versatile. He can do comedy like so. I mean, he's been in the Peg and Frost movies.
Yeah,
he's been in some of those. Yes.
Yeah.
But he's a great comedic actor. At the same time, he has got the chops to do like a Fargo, a very dark, very serious role. He's wonderful. He's
just
great.
A great actor. Yeah. He's really something. David Arquette is 51 today.
Oh, my.
That's crazy.
I almost thought he's only – I thought he was older than that.
I did too. Brooke Burke is 51, former Dancing with the Stars co-host.
Everyone's 51 today. Jeez.
Yeah, right? She also won seventh season.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Great singer-songwriter Amy Mann is 62. Lead singer of Till Tuesday. Voices Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Still
a great tune.
That immediately popped in a bunch of people's heads.
Yep.
And if that one didn't, David Steele from Fine Young Cannibals may have, and the English Beat, I should mention, with She Drives Me Crazy.
She Drives Me
Yep, that
crazy.
Immediately popped in your head. It's stuck there now, and I apologize. We certainly the station obviously has gotten a little more political in recent weeks and months and everything. Mm-hmm. But for me, I'm not going to do my job any different. WFHR has always been very bipartisan, mm-hmm. and I stand to that. I myself am a bipartisan person,
mm-hmm.
so I stand with that. And when I talk about politicians, I'm not really talking about them as politicians, but as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So today is Bernie Sanders' birthday. He's 81 today.
Wow.
And certainly I appreciate and respect any politician and the time that they put into our government and mm-hmm. what they do for their constituents. I respect that, but yep. I'm not really focused on that, and I never really have been with Bernie Sanders.
Right.
With Bernie Sanders, I look at because I see Bernie at the Jewish meetings. He's there with all the rest of us Jews.
Yeah.
And it's fun. We've had some nice conversations. Really likes his latkes. The reason I bring this up is Bernie Sanders was the first person I ever heard talk about Judaism the way that I was raised in Judaism, as it is not a religion, it is a creed.
Mm-hmm.
For some, when you convert to Judaism, it is just a religion.
It is
you.
A religion, yes.
But people like Bernie, people like myself that were born of a Jewish mother, that have relatives from literally Israel, like it is a creed. Mm-hmm. And Bernie talked about this in open conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Took a lot of heat for it. I personally respected it and appreciated it.
Yes.
It is... We, as Jews, we get this wonderful little Nix thing of, hey, the Nazis, all those guys and everything, they hate us more than anybody. If they had their way, we're gone. But then at the same time, we're looked at, we get lumped into another group of, white people or this or that. Like, mm-hmm. but we're not accepted by them either. So it's this weird kind of pairing. And most times people just kind of like lump that up as a religion, when this goes so much deeper than that. And it is, mm-hmm. It affects people deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it has certainly a religious quality to it, but it doesn't start or end there.
Right.
Being Jewish is something that you don't get to choose. It's in your DNA. It's not something, again, it is something you can choose, just like you can convert to Catholicism or Buddhism or anything else.
Right.
But it's a
Sammy Davis Jr.
Right on. But, you know, as Bernie Sanders noted out in this great quote of his talking about it, it's something that he takes pride in, and he carries with a weight that is something that he's honored to carry.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not a religious thing for him, like very similar for me. I celebrate Hanukkah, Yom Kippur. We have Rosh Hashanah coming up at the end of the month.
Yep.
But I do these things more out of tradition and out of respect to my mother and my family and the relatives we've lost, whether it's through the Holocaust or the plagues or anything
else. Right.
For that.
Yeah, and you know, if you want an equivalent, it's not exactly the same, but there's an equivalent of how many people celebrate Christmas, but they're not going to religious services for Christmas, this kind of thing. They still celebrate it, but it's a little different because of the rituals that you do for like Hanukkah and stuff. And my family, you know, recently has done a little bit of that just to, you know, get a flavor of it to see what it's like. And it's a lot of fun, too, but yeah, you're totally right.
The thing about Jewish holidays that nobody talks about, a lot of fun.
There's
a lot of fun and celebration in them. For a group of people that we tend to be a little bit serious and moody. We have fun on our holidays, and we have a lot of them, by the way.
I cannot think of a Christmas game that my children enjoy as much as playing with a dreidel.
I'm telling you.
I mean, they love it. They love it so much doing
playing
with that.
Most underrated toy in history.
It's so simple. It's so simple.
It's fun. It works. Some people no longer with us. Avicii passed away at the young age of 33. He was born in 1989, passed away in 2018. His biggest hit, Wake Me Up, which has over 2.1 billion views on YouTube.
Oh, my gosh.
I guarantee at least 1,000 of those are us here at the station. It was a song Carl really liked, and now I can't hear that song or think of that artist and not think of Carl.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we play it at least once a year for him.
Yep, we do.
The great Bobby Benjamin Orr, born on this day. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking that was Bobby Orr. I apologize.
That's
that didn't make sense to me. Benjamin Orr is the bass player from the Cars. He passed away in 2000.
Oh, okay.
Good All bass right. player. Very yep, good bass player.
Yeah, excellent.
The co-founder of the Grateful Dead, Ron Pigeon McCarron, born on this day in 1945, passed away in 1973. And then we got to take some time on these next four. First up, two of the greatest actors, entertainers of all time, the wonderful, the great, the underappreciated Peter Sellers, born on this day in 1925, passed away in 1980. Love me some Peter Sellers. Genius comedian. Inspector Clouseau in the Pink Panther movies, Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove. Peter Sellers is criminally underrated, in my opinion.
Yes.
Not by the generation that grew up with him and are, you know, my dad's group. They love Peter Sellers. They know who he is. I'm talking about our generation, Seth.
Yes.
We do not have enough of our generation that knows who the Peter Sellers is.
Yes. And one of the things that really makes me sad about Peter Sellers passing when he did, he was starting to turn the corner to more serious fare, which is back then it seems
unheard of.
It seems so easy now for actors to go between comedy, drama. Back then, if you were considered a comedic actor, all you were going to be in was comic movies. You were not going to get a chance to try drama. If you were not given that chance.
Nowadays, actors take auditions from everybody pretty much. But back then, if you were Peter Sellers, even with the reputation and all the great movies and big Hollywood hits you had and everything, you can't audition for Hamlet. They won't even take your audition. They won't even look at your resume.
Because all they see is people like, oh, this is the guy from whatever movie. You know, he's from Inspector Clouseau. No one's going to pay attention to him.
Nowadays, most directors and casting agents realize that was, you know, folly. And
really
and
silly.
Giving people a chance more. So Peter Sellers, incredible. And one of my all-time favorites, the wonderful, the legend Sid Caesar, born in this day in 1922, passed away in 2014. Definition of old school comedian. Played Coach Calhoun in Grease for younger artists. The caveman artist in History of the World, Part 1. I think maybe I'd never be able to pick my favorite role of his, but I loved him in Silent Movie. Mel Brooks is a Silent Movie.
Yes, yes. Sid Caesar, another name that's been unjustly forgotten.
Yeah.
In the annals. He is the one that so if you want to do the history of television, okay, you start off, it became popular in the late 40s because of Milton Berle. Mm-hmm. Milton Berle brought people to television. And then they had to do something different. They had to keep it going. So in the 1950s, you have a giant variety show each week called Your Show of Shows, which I believe was an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
And if you go back and watch some of the sketches they did, if you watch some of the production numbers, how could they have gotten this done in a week?
Yeah.
You have – and Sid Caesar, he did in interviews before he died. He's like, we just didn't realize we couldn't do it. We just did it.
Right.
Because we had to memorize – all. They didn't have cue cards.
Right.
They had to memorize these lines and all this stuff. Absolutely amazing. It was a show that changed television, sketch comedy. You don't have it without that show. The writers that were on that show went on to do amazing things.
Every one of them.
Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner, Danny, and Neil Simon were all working. Woody Allen worked on that show.
Woody Allen.
The writers were amazing.
It's insane. A lot of my students, especially for the younger students, mm-hmm. one of the first names that comes up with almost every student is a Chris Farley. And I got no issue with that.
Yeah.
I love Chris
Amazing.
Farley. But I tell them, like, you know, go ahead and watch your Chris Farleys and stuff. Do me a favor. Google Sid Caesar's Show of Shows.
Yep.
Just watch some sketches from that. And every one of them, I promise you, every single one of them comes back to me the next time I see them. Oh, my God. Whoa. Like, just blown away what they were able to pull off back in the day. Maybe they weren't laughing at a sketch. Or it wasn't funny to them, but they respected it. They saw what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my goodness, what they were pulling off.
He was an amazing performer and a pretty good saxophone player.
Yeah, that's right.
If you ever hear him play live, he was good.
He's a puppeteer, too.
Yes, that's right.
And then two more legends of music we want to talk about. Jimmy Rogers, born on this day in 1897, passed away in 1933.
Mm.
Many people consider him the father of country music.
Yep.
In the Jailhouse Now, Blue Yodel. You can't talk about country music without talking about him.
And yep.
I've said before, if I had to pick, my favorite voice of all time is Billie Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Close second would be Ella Fitzgerald, and a close tie with Ella would be the wonderful, the legend, Patsy Cline. Born on this day in 1932, passed away in 1963. I love me some Patsy Cline. It gets me every single time. Walking in Midnight, Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how many times I hear them. It gets me every single time.
She, for many years, set the standard for female voices in country music. And if you listen to her nowadays, you might think, wow, country. You know, yeah, there's some country things on there. She didn't sing with a twang.
Mm-mm.
She didn't swing with a twang at all, but there was a little hint of an accent there,
yeah.
But it was more the instrumentation, and even that, it sounded more pop to me than it did country. There are some country elements, but she was one of those first real big crossover artists from the countryside to the pop side.
We don't say this often with country artists, but she had such a smooth-sounding voice.
Yes.
That accent you're talking, that slightness, it was the slightest of touch.
Yep.
But it was there.
It was there.
So you had that feeling like you knew what kind of music you were listening to, but not really. Not maybe what you've been
exactly.
used to.
One of a kind. It was one of a kind.
Well said. Yes. One more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Chuck Gibbons.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Janet Gaybear.
Happy birthday.
And a happy birthday to our qualifier, Kathy Sweet. Enjoy your day, Kathy. Celebrate with our friends over at Misty's. They're open right now, 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Wish them a good morning from all of us. Stick around for Melissa's News right here on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Oh, jeez. Serious comedy to start your day. Hope you're having a good day out there.
Microphone attacked you there.
Yeah. You got to watch out for those. If you don't feed the microphone, it gets really edgy and comes at you.
It needs lots of words to feed on.
I was playing with my Seth and James here with you, 8:44 on the clock, everybody. I was playing with my fur brother, Sam, the other day, and he got a little excited and kind of nicked my eye.
Oh!
And got it pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's still healing, so I'm wearing my glasses more on the air. And I'm not used to wearing glasses on the air. And I've at least three times hit
the microphone
with my glasses.
It happens, everybody.
If you're wondering what that sound
yeah.
is, that's what that is, everybody. Me headbutting the microphone. Because it's football season, and we're headbutting each other because we're crazy. We're not the only crazy ones.
No.
This has gone too far. Pumpkin spice has gone too far.
I agree.
I didn't know that this was as popular as it is, but I am a little shocked that this was popular enough for a second run. But pumpkin spice ramen will be back again this year. Cup noodles debuted it last fall, and we sort of figured it would be a one-time thing, but because people seemed to like it, sort of. It didn't do
ringing
that well.
Endorsement, yeah.
It didn't do the greatest, but I think they're hoping that the second time around it will.
Now that they have some name recognition, yeah.
Yeah. It's a Walmart exclusive again. It'll hit shelves sometime this October. By the way, if you need to, someone that you'd like to know why this is happening... Google Trends released stats last year on the top pumpkin spice product each state was Googling more than any other states. It doesn't mean that it was most used or the most popular, just the most searched item. And the states that were most obsessed with pumpkin spice ramen were Texas, Alabama, Georgia, and Vermont. So we can blame them.
Wait a minute. Texas, Alabama, Georgia, and Vermont? When was the last time those four the first three, they're mentioned a lot together.
Yeah.
Vermont?
Yeah, Vermont and that. Yeah, one of these things is not like the
other. I blame Bernie Sanders.
I guess so. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't tell you this, but I almost believe with every bit of my mind that those states were Googling like – So they're having a conversation. Their two friends are talking like, hey, did you hear that there's pumpkin spice ramen? No way. Nobody would do that. I'm Googling that. There's no way. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there it is.
There it is. Yeah.
There's no way. I have a hard time believing that they were searching like where to buy it. Like it's one thing to search for something, another thing to like kind of just be like,
go out and actually get it. Yeah.
I don't know about that one. Have you heard, because this one seems like there's a lot of the pumpkin spice thing going nowadays.
Yeah, of course.
It's almost hard not to find something with pumpkin spice in it. I can't think of the item that surprises me the most. I do remember being out of state. I want to say this was in California. It may have been in Illinois, but I'm pretty sure it was in California. It was so long ago, but it was in the early days of the pumpkin spice revolution. It was in the early days of this uprising before it took over October and fall and everything. And there was a pumpkin spice like chicken. Like it was breaded chicken or something like that, like a pumpkin spice flavor. I don't know. I didn't order it, but somebody next to us had ordered it. And I was just looking over at it and everything, and it didn't look like chicken. It didn't look right. It was something. I don't know what those people ordered, but it wasn't chicken. I've never seen chicken look like that. I don't know what kind of chicken you raised to make it look like that, but it didn't look right.
Kind of scary.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back, and we're going to get into four things you obviously can't take from a hotel room.
I don't know about that.
We're going to find out. We'll come back on Mornings on WFH. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 8:50 on the clock with Seth and James here with you. And sometimes the advice stuff we see online is helpful and sometimes not so much.
Really?
Yeah. But this squarely is in the not category. Reader's Digest, which is still around, everybody,
and
still doing great writing, great journalism, great reporting.
You're only saying that because they published you.
Yeah, a little bit. I am a little biased. I generally am a fan of Reader's Digest, going way back, because I like to read. What they do. They're the short articles.
Yep.
Reader's Digest did a big write-up on things you can and can't take from hotel rooms.
Okay.
For example, you're fine taking soaps, shampoos, and pens. They kind of account for that.
Mm-hmm.
The things you can't walk off with are fairly obvious, like a TV. No, I'm joking. That's not. It is actually sort of on the list.
Yeah, okay.
I said that to be exaggerate comedy, and it's actually on there.
Yeah.
Somebody actually tried to do this.
I'm sure.
So, working in the hotel industry for 5+ years or whatever it was, got to really know a lot of that. Because I only say this because I worked in different parts of the country doing that job, and for all the major hotel companies I've worked for.
Right.
So I know a little bit about this world.
Sure.
I know that they counter for a lot of the quote-unquote stealing of shampoos.
Yeah.
I don't know about many other items, and I do know that a lot of hotels, it's not that they don't have a lot of sheets. It's just that they have, there's a cycle.
Exactly.
They got a ton in the wash while
at
the
any time,
out
right, yeah.
and stuff. Yeah. But the number one thing on this list is the sheets off the bed. They'll charge you for them, and you can't take the pillows and towels either. I feel like this is very self-explanatory, but okay.
Just putting this out there, if you need sheets for your bed at home, why are you staying in a hotel? That costs money, right? Yeah.
And if you're going to steal sheets, why would you steal, like, used sheets that have been used by... You have no idea how many strangers
have slept in those sheets, man.
Yeah, like, no.
Or what they've done on those sheets.
No. No. No, thank you. I'd rather sleep literally on concrete than a wonderful bed with strangers' sheets. Like, okay. Nah. Electronics like alarm clocks, universal remotes, and complimentary phone chargers. Really nice places sometimes have iPads you can use, but believe it or not, you can't take those with you. You won't be charged.
Oh, whatever.
They have your credit card.
See, that's something to remember, too. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't – just because you feel like George Clooney in Ocean's 11 and you got away with a robe or something like that, you didn't really get away with it.
No.
Check your credit card balance because, they're going to – they may find out, like, we're out of states. We're two states away. We got them. Like, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Wooden hangers from the closet. They aren't complimentary, but they're stolen enough that some places use anti-theft hangers now.
Yes, I've seen those. Yes.
The most frustrating thing when you can't take them off.
Yeah, it's like, you got to do the little hook thing. Yeah. So, but yes, those are because people take hangers.
These knuckleheads out here taking them. I will say of everything, anything that is taken from, quote unquote, taken from a hotel, that's probably the most understandable one to me because I've stolen so many of my mother's hangers and not meant to. You grab your shirt, you grab your clothes off out of the closet. And you just grab it,
right.
And you're carrying it with you. And then if you're transporting it in a car, I think a lot of us still do this. You use that little hook.
You hook, you hang it up,
We still have in most vehicles.
Yep.
And you hook them there.
Yep.
Like, I don't think much about it. But then I have my mother yelling at me, like, you stole my good hangers.
Yep.
I feel horrible.
Plus, you don't have to because everyone knows that hangers reproduce.
Yes, that's true.
If you put two hangers alone in a closet, you open it, there'll be 10. That's how it works.
This is fascinating to me. Nobody knows where hangers come from.
No.
Nobody. Card tables and hangers. Nobody. They just show up. You buy a house and they're there.
Yep.
You rent a house
and
they're there.
Yep. Three things. There's going to be coat hangers. There's going to be a card table. And there's going to be an old beat up game of Parcheesi.
Yes.
Those are the three things you're going to find. Yeah.
You will have them in every house in America. They exist.
Come they're standard.
They come with it's what comes with it, you know? The bathrobes are the final one on this list.
Mm.
But some hotels have those flimsy one-time use slippers. So those are another big one that are taken. But really the biggest thing that is taken is bathrobes.
Right. Which is why I think a lot of, unless it's a higher end place, they don't do those anymore. So, yeah. And that's fine.
Even to your point, Seth, it was a good 15 some years ago that I was working in that industry, and that they started stopping that then.
Yes,
there was a Comfort Inn and Suites, one of the nicer, like in Geneva, one of the nice hotels in that area that I worked at.
Yep,
very kind of ritzy, very high clientele. Along with they got a AAA baseball team like we do with the Rafters.
Yeah,
they got in town, so all the ball players stay at this hotel.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
At the I believe they're still working on this, but what they're doing was splitting the atom, but with the incubator that they were creating in Illinois. This is like 20 years ago.
Okay,
like
a cyclotron kind of thing.
Yes.
Do you remember particle that? Accelerator.
Particle accelerator.
Yeah.
Thank you so dang much. That was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, it was right there.
That thing they were creating. So all those scientists were coming to that hotel.
Oh, cool.
And I'll never forget this guy with this thick German accent comes by, and it's like 2 a.m, and he's upset. And he's talking in German to me, and he's not yelling at me. He's just upset. You can tell. The only word I can hear him say is he's German, bathrobe, German. I don't know if they don't have a word for
bathrobe. They don't have a word for bathrobe in German?
I don't know if they don't, or he just wanted to make sure I knew that. He was very upset that there was not a bathrobe in his room.
Maybe it's standard issue in Germany. I don't know.
I saw him the next morning, gave me a tip. Could not have been nicer. This guy wasn't mean to me.
Yeah, right.
But he was so embarrassed, I guess. He felt really bad at everything.
He had forgotten his robe, and he was just upset about it.
I don't know. I don't want to say that he learned English just to tell me this, but he did. The only English words out of bathrobe was thank you.
That's
the
good.
Only words he learned. It was really cool. It was a nice moment. Didn't get a lot of that in the hotel industry.
No.
I can't say that there's any item that I've ever felt like comfortable taking, even with shampoos and stuff like that. But The other part of that is I've never, and I don't mean this in a mean way, I've never used a hotel shampoo or conditioner that I'm like, oh, that's, I got to take that with me. That's some good stuff right there.
Like, well, you know, actually, for me, that actually makes sense because if you were going to go into a hotel room, would you use a half-used little bottle of shampoo?
Mm-hmm.
Would you do? I'm just putting it out there to everybody. Mm-hmm. Would you use it or not, or would you be like, yeah, you know, I'd rather have a new one? Now, a lot of places are going past that, and they've got like pump things in the shower. So they've got like the soap, they've got the shampoo, the conditioner, mm-hmm. and you just pump it out, and then it just stays there. You just take what you need and go, which makes sense to me because that actually probably does save them quite a bit of money if you think about it. So
yeah, very much. One of the things that that I think is fun about this is too is the things that I've seen people try to get away with. So one of the hotels I worked at, they had really nice pens, but like a lot of pens, you know, back because it was an older building,
mm-hmm.
had the old. I don't even know if they do this anymore. Where the,
oh, the
chain,
old chains,
the
chain, yes.
the pen is attached to the mm-hmm. chain, and it's like 1 a.m. and I've got this guy in, and he's just really tired. And he's just, you know, he just wants to get to his room. So mm-hmm. I'm just trying to help him get to his room as fast mm-hmm. as possible. No interacting, you know, wish you a good night. That's about it. He goes, and I walked away to put his papers away. And he was just going to leave to go to his room. And all of a sudden I hear this, the like whole like shelf like move, and the table move,
the counter, yeah, right.
Because he was trying to take the pen with him, and I don't know if he was just over. It wasn't like he was trying to steal it. He just had the pen in his hand, and he just kept trying to like take it and move with it. And I don't know, he's overtired or what it is. Like, just let go of the pen, man. Just let go of it.
It's okay.
But he wouldn't let go. He wouldn't, like for a good minute, he's sitting there struggling with this pen before he finally turns around and looks and sees it's connected.
It's a chain, yeah.
And he just looks at me with this like shame and this dumbfounded look on his face and everything. All I could say, mornings, you know, like I was like, hey, it's how it is, you know, it's like 1 a.m. It's in the mornings.
I don't think they do that anymore because now they just realize you can cheaply make pens with your logo on it, and it's advertising.
Yeah.
So you can take as many pens as you want.
Right. We will take a break right here. Go to some CBS news. When we come back, we got some entertainment news, some Betty Wright stories, good stories of the day, all coming up right here on
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE. Broadcasting at 97.5 FM.